Well, this morning we are very privileged to have Pastor Lynette Tobin bring the word this morning. She is family to us, definitely family to us, a local itinerant minister and just a great woman of God. I love her authenticity, her down-to-earth nature, her no-nonsense nature. She does a lot of work in India with the widows in India and is just a powerful prophetic woman of God. So please just really lean in and just enjoy and take this word that she has for you this morning. Thank you so much,
Amen.
Pastor.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. That's what God's been saying to me for months and months. Lift up your eyes. I don't know about you, but when I went to sleep on the last night of 2019, I can't remember what colour pyjamas I was in, but all I know is that when I woke up in 2020, I had the same colour pyjamas on. Is that correct? You know, we have such things, you know, it's tomorrow, it's a new year, everything's going to change. Yes, they do change, but not always for good. But there's one thing I do know that never changes, and that is the promises of God. Maybe you've gone from 2019 and from 2020, and all the stuff that was in 2019 has sort of doubled up in 2020, which has happened for us. But you know what? In all that, God's promises are true and amen. Praise God. You know, this is not our final destination. Do you like that? This is not our final destination. And as I said, the word kept coming to me over and over. And, you know, I was going to, my friend said, you've got to, you know, get your nails done. I want you to go to this new lady because she's half the price. Amber's my granddaughter, so that's where I get the saving thing. So I thought, I thought that I'll go to this new lady. So she told me the number of the house. So off I went there. And when I got there, I thought, wow, I can't believe this is the house I'm going for. The driveway went up like this, and you'll know me, I hate driving, but you know, the driveway went up like this, and it was all rocks, and I thought, how am I ever going to get my car up there? And when I got up there, I couldn't move. There was just trees and rubbish, and there was stuff everywhere. I didn't know how I was even going to get to the front door. And I remember her saying to me, it's a gate on the right, gate on the right. I can't even see the gate. So I struggled through all the rubble and that, and I went to the left side and I couldn't get through again. There was just too much stuff, too much trees, too much everything, rubbish. And I thought, oh, I can't believe this. So I thought I'd go to the front door, and when I saw all the cobwebs, I thought, oh no, I can't go in there. So I rang the lady who I didn't know and I said to her, it's me. And I couldn't quite hear her. And, you know, and she shouted at me, lift up your eyes. So I lifted them up and I looked across the road and there she was waving. I was in the wrong house. Absolutely the wrong house, because they'd given me the wrong number. And I said, God, I've got it. Lift up my eyes. And this morning we're looking up at Abraham's life. Because if you read Abraham's life, the reason why he was such an incredible man of God, because he kept lifting up his eyes to God over and over and over. You'll see scriptures in the Word about him lifting up his eyes. And the Lord is saying to us, no matter what your circumstances are, whatever's happening in your life at the moment, you know what, people, we've got to lift up our eyes and see beyond what we see in the natural. The natural can pull us down at times, can be exhausting. You can't see a way out. But you know what? When we lift up our eyes, we see and remember the promises of God. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 in the Passion Translation, it says this: Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honour and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not the distraction of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. Amen? If we want to live this resurrection life that God provides, we need to seek that new powerful life by setting our mind and keeping it set on things above and not on things on the earth. We need to lift up our eyes, people, and see beyond what we see in the natural. Exactly what Jared was talking about. Not looking at stuff around us, but lifting up our eyes and seeing what God has for us in our lives. Let's look at Genesis 12, verses 1-3. Now the Lord had said to... I'm going to call him Abraham because a part of the Bible is called Abraham. Then he's called Abraham, so we'll just call him Abraham from the beginning. Is that okay? Good, because I am. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God comes along to Abraham. He's 75 years of age. And he says, I want you to leave your country. And I want you to leave your father's house. And I want you to go to the land that I will show you. You know what? Abraham was 75 years of age. And God said, in other words, pack everything up and just move with me. Can you imagine what happened when he went home to his wife? When he went home to Mrs. Abraham? And he said, Mrs. Abraham, we've got to shift. We've got to move. Where are we going? I don't know. How are we going to get there? I don't know. Who's going to help us? I don't know. And you know what I would have said? I'm not going. But she didn't. She was a very good little wife, that one. She was. Not only did he have to go on this journey, but he had all this stock. He had so many servants. And he also took along with him nephew whose name was Lot. God promises to make Abraham a great man. And God did bless Abraham, including material blessings. We read how Abraham was made very wealthy. If we read that in Genesis 13, 1 and 2, then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. See, these verses also indicate that God separated Abraham from his idolatrous family in order to make him and his descendants, the Messianic nation, I don't know where my words are coming this morning, but anyway, which would bring salvation to all earth's families. You know, separations can often be in God's plans. We don't like separations, do we? But often separations can be in God's plans. You know, because it comes to a time in chapter 13 where Abraham and Lot have to separate ways. Because their possessions had become so great, the land could not sustain both of them, and there was not enough space for their herds. And you know what? There was strife in the camp between Abraham's men and Lot's men. In Genesis 13, 8 and 9 it says, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and our herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will take the right. If I go to the right, I will go to the left. That was an amazing thing, you know, because Abraham had the right to choose where he wanted to go. But he actually gave that right over to Lot. See, Abraham didn't want any squabbles. Abraham was a peacemaker. So he let Lot choose the land that he wanted to have, and he said he would have that was what was ever left over. Actually, God was separating them. He was separating Abraham and Lot because he had so much more that he wanted to do in Abraham's life that he knew Lot would not be part of. Lot was drawn to the spirit of the world. There are times in our lives that God will ask us to do something that's not of our choosing. Anyone have done that? It could be a physical move. It could be separation from some areas in our life. It could be a separation from certain people that will not be part of our next chapter in our life. You know, when I was a pastor of a church, for senior pastor for 7 years, by the time the 7 years was up, I was a very happy little chook, I was. And actually, I even got a wage in the end, so wasn't that great? Then God comes to me and says, I want you to give up your job and I want you to go back to itinerating. And I thought, well, I just don't want to. There's no money in itinerating. But the truth was that I had given up my long service leave when I worked at the hospital, and now that meant I had to give up my long service leave again. But I didn't say that. I just thought, you know what, I'll just go next year. But I thought I'd speak to this guy who I trust, and I told him, and he said, well, I think you're wrong. I think you should move now. I didn't tell him I didn't want to move because I wanted my long service leave. That wasn't very spiritual, was it? But you know what? God spoke to me again, and I left. And you know what, people? God has sourced and resourced all the way. Amen? God can and will bless a separated life. In Genesis 13:10, it says this, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. This verse is saying that Lot lifted up his eyes. But you know what? He only kept his eyes on the natural. He didn't lift up his eyes to God. He only saw what he saw in the natural. He saw the land was lush. He saw the land was green. He saw that it was the best land that you could ever have. See, he didn't lift his eyes heavenly. He just saw what pleased his natural sight. So Lot chooses, can you believe, the best land for himself. And he left Abraham with a far inferior portion. See, people, to see what God sees, we need to lift up our eyes towards God. We need to stop taking our eyes off what we see in the natural. Amen? Because we look at the natural and it can bring us down, because even though it's 2020, some things haven't changed. But we need to lift up our eyes and see what God is saying and what God is doing. And he will always fulfill his promises to us in his life. Amen? See, we need to lift up our eyes towards God. Got to stop looking at everything through our natural eyes. To see the promise of God, guess what, people? We have to look up. We have to look up. Because I tell you what, when Abraham looked at the land that remained, he looked in perfect trust. Although, I tell you what was left with the land was nothing but dirt and dust. All the green lush land went to Lot. He was left with nothing but dirt and dust. It was so undesirable. But Lot had chosen the better land. But you know what? Abraham looked through eyes that were connected to a spiritual heart. You know, Abraham could have become very disappointed in what Lot did. I mean, come on, people. Abraham was chosen to be the fathers of nations, and he had no children. God said he would bless him. Some blessing, dirt and dust. You know, he said that Abraham, that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's if we get live long enough in this dust bowl. That's how we thought. And sometimes we come into 2020 and all we can see dust and dirt. We don't see the green lush. We don't see the promises of God. We can't see how things are going to work out. They didn't work out in 2019. How are they going to get any better in 2020? I'll tell you how they get better. We lift up our eyes and we seek God and we believe the promises of God. Whatever God's promised, He'll fulfill in His time, in His time, in His time. Amen. And I'm telling you, people, if you've got promises of God, you hang on to those promises no matter what. And you will see those promises fulfilled in His time because His promises are always progressive. So people, this morning, whatever is trying to pull you down, look up. Look up this morning. Look up. Praise God. Let's look at Genesis 13, 14 to 17. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for God, I give it to you. God says, even though you see the dust and the dirt, even though you see things not changing, lift up your eyes and see what I have for you. You know, and it also says that Abraham was to look from the place where he was. He's still in the dust and the dirt, but in that dust and dirt, he looked up. And whatever situation you're in this morning, from wherever it is, just look up. Look up from that situation where you see no changes. Look up from that situation where you see no help coming and know that your help comes from God. See, even if we're looking at dust and dirt, people, whatever that represents to us, lift up your eyes and see the promises. Believe the promises and move out on those promises, even if nothing looks different in the natural. This was an incredible promise to Abraham, which could not be seen with the natural eye. God's got good things for you. God's got promises for you, amen? You can't see it with your natural eye. But when we lift up and put our eyes back on Him and trust Him and our hope is in Him, we see the promises He has for us. How did Abraham react from all this? He's been promised all these promises. He can't see how it's going to happen. He ends up with dirt and dust. Lot's taken the best land. I tell you, this is what exactly he did in verse 18. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar to the Lord. Mamre means fatness. Hebrew means fellowships. And you know what? He simply left, picked up his tent, and placed his tent where he could worship God. Amen? He left all the dust and dirt, and he just moved over, and he worshiped God. Amen? And I tell you, people, sometimes we have to move our tent. I mean, where is our tent parked? Where is it parked this morning? Abraham settled in a place of blessing and closeness to the Lord. That's what he did. He didn't get disappointed. He didn't gossip about it. He didn't tell everybody what Lot had done. He simply picked up his tent and moved closer to the Lord. See, we can learn from Abraham. Instead of parking on the lot and called encouragement, parking on the lot called depression, parking on the lot called anger, parking on the lot called disappointment. Parking on the lot, nothing changes in my life. God wants us to lift up our eyes and worship Him with a thankful heart like Abraham. You know what, people? We are to fix our eyes on God, not on our situation, not on the enemy. See, God knew that Abraham could easily get his eyes on the wrong thing. We all can. Abraham could have said, why did I give Lot the best land? Why did I end up with all this dust and dirt? But see, God just simply wanted Abraham to lift up his eyes so he could see beyond the dirt and dust and begin to see his destiny unfold. God wanted him to believe the promises. And my heart is this morning, people, is that you'll go back to believing God's promises. That you'll look up and begin to see your destiny unfold. Not what's happening around you, not all the stuff, but what he has for you. He wants us to lift up our eyes. He wants us to simply shift our tent away from disappointment, wondering what's going on, and shift our tent closer to him and lift up our eyes and see what he has in store for us. Does that excite you, people? Praise God. Praise God. Do you know what the word Lot means? I didn't until I checked it up. But his name is actually meant veil. Lot's name means veil. Interesting. But when Abraham separated from Lot, it was as though the veil had been lifted from Abraham's eyes. He was able to see God in a new way. See, God wanted to reveal himself to Abraham in unseen ways. And he wants to reveal himself to you people in unseen ways. Amen? God has spoken to Abraham and told him he was going to be a father of many nations. But the promise of the child hadn't been fulfilled. God's promises were spoken, but were not yet. And we've got a lot, we're not yet promises that will come to pass. The veil was lifted off Abraham's eyes so he could be lifted into the supernatural realm and get a glimpse of what God wanted him to do. Still no child. But you know, we read in chapter 17, 16, how his wife Sarah, she got the maid Hagar and she took him into her husband Abraham and she fell pregnant and they had a child, Ishmael. It wasn't the fulfillment of God's promises for them. You know, sometimes people, when we don't see the fulfillment of promises, we can take stuff into our own hands, can't we? We think we'll just work it all out. Sometimes we just get tired of waiting. Or we think we couldn't have heard from God. Nothing's happening. But I've come to tell you that God's promises are true. Amen? But that is not the end, nor it is for us people. In chapter 17, when the Lord appears to Abraham, you know what? He's now 99 years of age. He's a real old boy, isn't he not? 99. And this is where God actually changes his name from Abraham to Abraham. Not till he was 99. And then he promises again, you'll be father of many nations. But you know what? And Abraham believed God, obeyed God, and followed his instructions. Then in Genesis 18, 1 and 2, it says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Manah, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Abraham still in a place of blessing and closeness to God. You know, after all this time, 75 now, 99, and you know what? He shifted his tent, but he shifted his tent into the presence of God, and he never shifted his tent away from that, amen? Those are promises hadn't happened. Nothing great had happened, but you know what? There he was. When the angels came to fulfill his promise, where did they find him? Worshipping and praising God in the tent. Amen. Where will we be found? Where will we be found? If we get so disappointed about things not happening, we need to be found in that place. You know, people, he lifted his eyes and these men were carrying the promise of a child for Abraham. And you know, they said, the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life and Sarah shall have a son. You know what, people? God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah. Seemed impossible. 99. You know what? Maybe you've got promises that seem impossible. But God is saying, look up and see what the Lord is saying. Nothing is impossible. Amen? And you know what? Abraham and Sarah made a mistake. But you know what? Our mistakes do not define us. The promises of God do. That's exciting, people. Let's look at Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God promises to give all believers, who's the believers here this morning? He promised to give all believers the blessing of Abraham, telling us that Jesus became a curse for us, that we might become the blessing of Abraham. This begins, of course, when we're born again. We become new creations in Christ Jesus. But the blessing of Abraham involves other things as well. And you know, people, the Lord wants us to prosper emotionally. He wants us to prosper spiritually. He wants us to prosper physically. He wants us to prosper materially. Amen? God, Abraham's blessing is ours. Isn't that what the Word says? The Word says that his blessing is ours. We need to go out of this place with our eyes looking up, not at the circumstances, and saying, God, I'm looking up to the blessing that you have for my family, for my finances, for my health, for all my situations. God, I'm looking up this morning. I'm not going to look in the natural. You know, it might have seemed that Lot got the best deal, but Abraham got the promise, and you do too. People might get the best deal. We're not into deals. We're into promises. Is that right? In fact, the veil has been lifted from your eyes. It's been torn in two by the power of Christ. And he wants to lift up your eyes right where you are. You know, at this moment on your journey, God wants to show you things this morning that you've never seen before. In the beginning, I said God's promises are progressive. They unfold in his timing. Maybe you haven't seen them yet. But I'm telling you, people, it's a matter of time that God will get you where you need to be. God will get you where you need to be. God didn't want Abraham parking right next to Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew what the outcome of that place would be. It got destroyed. God knows what he has in store for you, and he will fulfill his promises in your life. People, we simply to lift up our eyes. Let's close our eyes for a moment. In our spirit, just lift up. Look up, look up, look up. Look past those things that are a reality in your life right now. Just look past them right now. Past them right now. Then just look up. Look up. Oh, God, I want to look up this morning. Lord, I want to shift my tent from disappointment and hopelessness and how's everything going to work out. I want to shift my tent this morning and I want to move it over to you, Lord. I want to come into your presence in a greater way. I want to know you in a greater way, Lord. Oh, God, I'm going to look up and I'm going to believe your promises. Oh, Father, Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning, Father. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to them clearly, even as if it's through a nail lady. But you know, you'll speak to them clearly, saying, look up. I have incredible things for you. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Father, we thank you for your promises. Oh, Father, we help us to shift our tent. It's not always easy, Lord, to shift your tent away from stuff you can see every day. But, Father, help us to lift our tent and move it into the presence of God and lift up our eyes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your promises. Oh, Lord.